This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday, the 10th of April. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Ruby Susan. Tonight on the show, we head to Queensland and speak with one of the baton bearers of the Commonwealth Games, as well as the Honourable Yvette D'Arth, Attorney General and Minister for Justice, because Queenslanders have two more weeks to have their say on LGBTI births, deaths and marriages reform. And as of this week in Tasmania, under the expungement of historical offences scheme, criminal charges related to historical homosexual or cross-dressing offences can be expunged. We find out how you can apply to have convictions expunged, as well as look at the fact that we don't need to pay one political party against another in order to achieve LGBTI rights, with Tasmania's expungement legislation hailed as the best in Australia, which had the government, the community and both houses of parliament working together to ensure the best possible outcome.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email onair at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Individuals and organisations now have an extra 2 weeks to submit their views on how Queensland's Births, Deaths and Marriages Registration Act 2003 can improve legal recognition of LGBTI people and their families while registering life events, with the closing day for submissions being extended until Thursday, April 19th. Dina Curie spoke with Yvette D'Arth, Attorney General and Minister for Justice of Queensland.
Giving Queenslanders across the state the chance to have their voices heard, Attorney General and Minister for Justice Yvette D'Arth has extended the submission deadline on how Queensland's Births, Deaths and Marriages Registration Act can improve legal recognition of LGBTI people and their families when registering life events after the initial response exceeded submission expectations. This shows that after the postal survey last year, it's time for Queensland's other laws to get up to speed.
It's been many years since the Act was reviewed, and in light of changes in our legislation across the board over a number of years, removing discriminatory terms in relation to the LGBTI community, it made sense with the changes to the Marriage Act to now look comprehensively at the Act. So we'll be looking at the Act as a whole, the Births, Deaths and Marriages Act, but importantly, the first discussion paper we've put out is about registering life events, recognising sex and gender diversity and same-sex families. We couldn't make many of these changes before the change to the Marriage Act, but now we can, and we can start looking at issues like, do we recognise on marriage certificates that you're the wife and the wife, or the husband and the husband on birth certificates? In the past and currently, it would say mother and parent. It wouldn't say mother and mother. Wouldn't say father and father. So we need to work through these issues. And then when there has been gender reassignment or there is other gender recognition, it's, well, our current laws really don't provide for that. And we do need to look at whether our laws and the way we register life events really reflects what's happening in our community now. And look, I know there'll be people out there who were opposed to the changes in the Marriage Act and said, once we change the Marriage Act, this will just lead to a whole lot of other changes elsewhere. But the reality is that we do need to make sure that the language we're using is reflective of our broader community. And so we are asking simple questions as part of our discussion paper. How should a person's sex be recorded on their birth, adoption or death certificates, and should it be different categories? What do we do, for example, where someone is recognises as a different gender to their birth, haven't gone through any surgery to change their gender? How do we make sure that those legal documents recognise who they are? And should we have a different document that is a gender recognition certificate or an identity acknowledgement certificate that says you may have been born a male, but you recognise and you are recognised by others in the way you live your life every single day as a female? And shouldn't those documents reflect that, especially when we're trying to clarify someone's identity on legal documents?
But an update of Queensland's Birth, Deaths and Marriages Act isn't the only change being made when it comes to recognising and validating individuals' correct gender.
One of the most recent things we've got before the Queensland Parliament right now is the current law, because of the way the Marriage Act was, said that if you married as a heterosexual couple and one of you went through surgery and had gender reassignment, the only way to now get your gender recognised on your birth certificate, such that you can go change legal documents like your passport and everything else to recognise that, is to divorce. That's what the law actually does, and it does across many jurisdictions. That said, the only way you can change your identity, your legal identity as far as your gender, is to divorce, because marriage didn't recognise anything other than a heterosexual relationship. So we've got that before the Parliament right now. I'm really pleased that we've been able to act quickly on this and get it before the Parliament so that people don't have to make those decisions. You know, do I stay married or do I get my gender legally recognised? I mean, that shouldn't be a choice someone should have to make. That is just, as a matter of course, we should make sure that the laws provide for that. That one is in relation to someone who has already undergone surgery. What we're asking as part of the discussion paper is, what if you don't undergo surgery, but you've gone through some form of gender reassignment and you want to be recognised and you live your life as a different gender? How can we make sure that that's recognised in some form and in the form of legal documents or registration documents? So we do want people to come forward. We've extended the time frame for the discussion because we have had so many individuals and stakeholders come forward with submissions, we realised that we should give more time for everyone to have a say. So we've extended the period through to the 19th of April. So anyone who is interested in having a say on this review, we really do encourage them to go on the Justice website and have a look at this review and either do the simple online survey or put in a submission. And the submission can be as detailed or as simple as you want, and just put in your own words what you think we should be doing to reflect our society in these really important registration of life events.
When it comes to the state of Queensland, it can be easy to dismiss it as Australia's Texas. With roo shooters, beer drinkers, holiday makers and partygoers, you can feel like the majority of voters aren't on the side of its LGBTI citizens. But since the postal survey and the conversation surrounding the equal rights of LGBTI Australians, the door hasn't only been open to change from a legislative point of view, but from a personal one as well.
People just haven't thought about these things. When you talk to someone in the community who is supportive of same-sex relationships and same-sex marriage, when you say to them, do you realise that on different certificates and birth certificates and so forth, you can't have mother and mother? They're quite surprised. No one's turned their mind to these sorts of things, and they sound simple, but they can become quite complex. And we want to make sure that we're inclusive in what we're doing, and the only way to do that is to have that broad consultation, bring the community in, have round tables, have those engagements with key stakeholders, but also with the individuals out there who are most affected by these changes, and ask them what they want to see.
It looks like Queensland is trying to do all it can to get up to speed when it comes to creating a level playing field for all Queenslanders, no matter their gender or sexual orientation.
People don't necessarily think of Queensland leading the way in these areas, but the fact is, in the last 3 years, we've reintroduced civil partnerships, we have introduced the legislation and passed the legislation on expunging historical homosexual convictions, and that was a really important historical change. Yeah, again, people think, oh, well, we haven't had those laws for years, what does it matter? There are people out there still living with these charges and convictions to this day who still can't apply for a job without actually declaring these convictions. And what was the conviction about? Simply because it was unlawful to be homosexual. That's not good enough. So we have to create these schemes and to rectify some of these wrongs. We've removed the gay panic defence. We've standardised the age of consent. We've enabled same-sex adoptions. Now we've got this legislation in now to rectify people who have gone through gender reassignment and changes to the Marriage Act. And that's, to me, this step of reviewing the Birth, Death and Marriage Register is just the next step. It's a logical step, and it's one that, you know, I hope, you know, all jurisdictions will be looking at their legislation now and saying we should be more inclusive in the way that our laws are written.
That was Deena Curie with Attorney General and Minister for Justice for Queensland, Yvette De Arth. And if you'd like to add a submission, go to justice.qld.gov.au/BDMACTREview, or you can find the link on our social media.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
As of this week, Tasmanians can now apply to have historic convictions of homosexual acts and cross-dressing convictions removed from their criminal records, in a move celebrated by rights groups. Deena Curie and Leanne Carney from the Human Rights Law Centre discuss how Tasmanians can apply to have their convictions expunged.
Sex between consenting adults should never have been criminalised. This scheme will finally help to repair the harm caused by these unjust laws and send a clear message to lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people that they are valued members of the Tasmanian community.
That was Leigh Carney from the Human Rights Law Centre, who have been providing assistance to people who have been unfairly burdened by criminal records in the ACT, Victoria and New South Wales. And they were able to talk to the Tasmanian government about how homosexuality convictions and cross-dressing convictions had an impact on people's lives. Because as of this week, expungement legislation has begun for those convicted under former Tasmanian laws against homosexuality and cross-dressing.
Because of the different offences in the different jurisdictions, Tasmania had very specific offences which criminalised cross-dressing, which stops men in particular from, for example, wearing dresses at night. And people were charged with those offences. But there weren't those same cross-dressing offences in all the other states and territories. It was something very specific to Tasmania. Tasmania was the last state in Australia to decriminalise homosexuality in 1997. And the fact that today people will be able to apply to clear their criminal records after having experienced the shame and stigma of having these convictions for falling in love with someone of the same gender and for, you know, having sex with them or being in a relationship with them is a really profound moment, I suppose, in Tasmania's history.
Tasmania's legislation allowing the expungements of previous homosexuality and cross-dressing convictions has been hailed as the best in Australia.
We also were contacted by a client who was in his mid-20s when he was convicted in Tasmania of gross indecencies, a consensual sexual activity with his partner at the time. And he remembers being convicted in a court in Hobart and placed on a £25 good behaviour bond for 2 years. And he was assessed as having a psychological sexual distortion by the medical hygiene department in Tasmania. And he's had that on his record for more than 60 years. And so he said to us, you know, I'm in my 80s, but I would still very much like the opportunity to clear my name and have my criminal record in Tasmania destroyed. So we were able to share some stories from our clients about the impact of what it was like to be reaching the end of their lives and to still feel like these offences were casting such a long shadow over their lives and that they had done so for so many years.
Tasmania was the last state to criminalise homosexuality until 1997 and the only state to criminalise cross-dressing until the year 2000 in Australia. But now, applying to have your criminal conviction expunged is relatively simple. You go to the website www.ehos.tas.gov.au to make an application.
It's come up in all kinds of situations that most of us don't think about. If you have a conviction for a same-sex offence, a homosexual offence, it's recorded as a sex offence, which means that it restricts your opportunities to work, to volunteer or to travel overseas. And that's been the effect for decades. We'll be providing free legal assistance to anyone who's living interstate who has a charge in Tasmania. And there's a number of Tasmanian free legal services that will be helping people who are still living in Tasmania. So people are also welcome to contact us for assistance. But it's a very straightforward system. You shouldn't need legal advice to complete the forms. But if you want more information about how expungement works and some advice on, you know, whether you're eligible to apply, then there are free services available who can help.
During the debate on expungement of historical offences in 2017, Tasmanian Premier Will Hogman said laws criminalising consensual homosexuality activity and cross-dressing were unfair and unjust. It is our view the broader Tasmanian community would believe people should never have been charged or convicted in the first place. Even if it was thought at the time that it was the right thing to do, it was not. We accept also that we cannot change the past, nor can we undo the harm or distress caused to members of our community. We can apologise for it, and we do so.
Something else that happens through this scheme is that people can access the documents from the court and from the police, which in some of our clients' cases has given them some more information about why exactly they were charged. A lot of people might not have known who reported to the police, and while the names are redacted, there are details there about exactly why they were charged or why the police officer was at a particular beat or, you know, why their name was notified to police, and that has a huge impact on them moving on with their lives and feeling like they can close that door and a chapter on their lives.
That was Lee Carney from the Human Rights Law Centre. And to find out more about having your homosexual and cross-dressing convictions expunged, head to www.ehos.tas.gov.au or on the Informer social media to find the link.
This is the Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Tasmanian expungement legislation taking effect this week, allowing those with homosexual and cross-dressing convictions to have those wiped from the record, is being hailed as the best and most comprehensive in Australia. Dina Curie speaks to Robin Banks, who helped draft the legislation in her formal role as Tasmania's Anti-Discrimination Commissioner, and to Rodney Croom about how well our lawmaking process can work when the government, the community and both houses of parliament work together to ensure the best possible outcomes.
So when I was Anti-Discrimination Commissioner, we did a consultation process. We looked at a range of issues that affect people who have historic convictions, and in Tasmania, with the unique situation of having people convicted for cross-dressing, it was pretty important that we covered every possibility, and we looked at what might prevent people from seeking expungement, so, you know, features of schemes that make the process more or less accessible to people. So we made a report about that, and that was provided to government, which resulted in a bill being drafted. And from that point on, I guess I was involved in providing feedback on the initial bill and then on a subsequent bill that was then modified and tabled. And certainly what was tabled early last year was a reasonably positive piece of legislation from our point of view, but we did think it could be better, and it was me and others who then worked very closely with the Legislative Council to seek further amendments to really incorporate all of the best features of legislation, not only in Australia but in other parts of the world where such schemes already existed. So, yeah, it was quite a lengthy process, but a really effective process, I think, in the end. And it involved a lot of people really seeking to understand what would make it a good scheme.
Tasmania's expungement legislation shows how well our lawmaking process can work when the government, the community and both houses of parliament work together to ensure the best possible outcome, with Tasmania's process being hailed as the best in Australia.
Often parliaments don't necessarily give people that time to go through a process of looking at it, and sometimes the political process can be quite adversarial, and what we saw here was a process where we took some of that heat out of it. And, you know, I can only acknowledge the fantastic work done by both members of our Legislative Council, but also by the government agreeing to the amendments that were finally proposed, and also agreeing to one other thing, which I think it's easy to forget, and I sometimes do, that one of the things we managed to get into the legislation as part of that final tranche of changes was an agreement to review it and see if it was working and whether it was working effectively. Because there were a couple of things that we really pushed for that we didn't manage to get in. One of them is that if a person has died, that there's a system for family members and others to apply. But unfortunately, it's effectively a hierarchy. So it says, you know, this person can apply, and if that person can't apply, not that they won't apply, but that they can't apply, then this next person in the line of descent, I guess, almost can apply. And our view was it shouldn't be limited to where a person can't apply. It should be, you know, if one family member won't apply, then it doesn't preclude other family members from doing so, because there are a whole lot of reasons. Individuals might not want to apply, and that shouldn't stop others who are concerned to clear the name of their other family member and have that expungement done posthumously. So that's one of the features we didn't get in, but the review will be an opportunity to revisit that question.
Family members of people who were convicted but have since passed away can apply for expungement of homosexual and cross-dressing convictions in Tasmania, including parents, siblings, children and nieces and nephews. Expungement is not automatic and requires an application, and records can be expunged in relation to any charge, convictions, investigation, associated arrest or detention. A single application can be made for multiple offences, and there are no application fees and no need for any court appearances.
I think it's a really great example of what can be done when people are given the opportunity to have input at the very early stages of an idea, and where there's a respectful discussion about whether or not a piece of draft legislation is actually going to achieve what it sets out to do. And sometimes, you know, people say, oh, well, it's been drafted by Parliamentary Council or whoever, they know what they're doing. It's like, yeah, they know what they're doing. They're experts at drafting. However, they may not be experts at the situation that people face in applying to a scheme like this. And so it was really critical that respectful discussion took place, and we were able, through a collaborative process, to achieve what I think is the best scheme in Australia, and hopefully others will learn from that.
Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group spokesperson Rodney Croom urged those LGBTI people convicted under Tasmania's former laws to apply to have their criminal records expunged, so the stigma and burden associated with these records can finally be lifted. He highlighted the fact that we as a community don't need to pick political sides in order to have our rights heard and make changes for the LGBTIQA+ communities to come.
The expungement of criminal records legislation in Tasmania is obviously a good thing for those LGBTI Tasmanians who have a criminal record. They can now have that criminal stigma removed. And obviously it's a good thing for Tasmania as a whole, because it means that we're a more inclusive and equal society. But I think one of the important lessons out of this legislation in particular is that we can achieve good reform without compromises, including under Liberal governments. This legislation was passed through quite a collaborative effort, with the community being involved, with state Liberal government putting forward legislation, and that legislation being improved in the state upper house and then approved by the government, all leading to what is the best legislation of its kind in Australia. And I think it really goes to show that it is possible to achieve legislation that's top quality, without unnecessary compromises, and through collaboration across party lines. Sometimes I think that there's a sense amongst LGBTI people that good legislation can only be achieved under a Labor government or through the Greens or whatever, but that's not the case. Liberal governments can deliver top quality LGBTI human rights legislation as well, if we take a collaborative approach and if we all work together with respect to achieve a good outcome.
The priority now is to ensure that everyone with a criminal record, as well as families where deceased members had a record, are aware of the expungement process. And you can find out more by going to www.ehos.tas.gov.au.
That was Rodney Croom and Robin Banks discussing the legislation now allowing Tasmanians to have their homosexual and cross-dressing convictions expunged. If you'd like to know more, head to www.ehos.tas.gov.au, or you can check out the Informer social media to find the link.
This is the Informer on Joy 94.9.
Finally tonight, we head to the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast as Ian Muchmore speaks to LGBTI advocate Matt Hall, who was a baton bearer for this year's Games.
So being a baton bearer is about being part of communities, recognition from community.
Yeah. And for the Gold Coast, this has been born and bred. This is the biggest thing the Gold Coast has ever seen. So to be a part of it is just amazing.
Queen's Baton Bearer on April 3rd, so a day before the opening ceremony.
people are selected to be a baton bearer who have served their community. So people that involve themselves with charities or volunteer to local sports clubs. And the idea of a baton bearer is they get to carry the Queen's baton, and it gets handed from one baton bearer to the other, and it travelled for 388 days all around the world, and over 100 days in Australia, all around Australia. So it's quite an honour to be selected. You have to be nominated by more than one organisation, and you get to hold the baton and carry the baton and run along and have thousands of people who you don't know screaming and cheering for you. So it was quite a unique experience.
What was it like?
It was nerve-wracking to start with, because half a dozen police cars go past, and then the media car goes past, and then there was a truck that was full of media that were filming out the back live. And while they're filming you, you're running along behind them. They're telling the people on the street your biography, so why you were nominated. And I was nominated for being the first openly gay footballer back in 2002. I came out as a gay footballer.
Now, for Melbourneites, which football are we talking about?
Aussie rules football.
Aussie rules proper footy.
The first Australian rules footballer to publicly come out in 2002 in an interview. So I was acknowledged for that, but I also am now a Beyond Blue ambassador and do public speaking with Beyond Blue, the mental health charity, and I'm a Lifeline Suicide Prevention Crisis Counsellor. So I was nominated by those organisations, and my nomination was accepted and approved for those reasons, being the first gay footballer and then for my charity work.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news for current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's episode will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcasting platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby Sue. Have a great night.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.